And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest in the world of sports here for Thursday. He's got his great job at the Florida Today newspaper. He's my great friend, Tim Walters. Cue his music.
There's no I in team, but there is in Tim.
How's bowling going on Monday then?
Not very good.
I talk about it on my podcast. On my podcast. Podcast. I love it when a plan comes together.
Tim Walters, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, living the dream as always, Mark. How you been?
Hey, I have been watching a lot of Orlando Magic basketball the last couple of nights, and they should have won that game on Tuesday. They lose by a point. We got Game 6 coming up Friday night, the Kia Center. What are your thoughts on the team heading into Game 6?
Well, first of all, if you go back and listen to the audio of my interview last week when the Magic were down 2-0, and you asked me what I thought would happen, I told you they would win both games at home and then lose Game 5 up in Cleveland and then win Game 6 and then take it to a seventh game. And then I said, the Magic were going to win, so I'm still going to stick with that, Mark.
Do you also, like, can you predict lottery tickets? Who's going to win the presidency? Are you Miss Cleo? What else do we need to know, buddy?
I'm giving no thoughts on the presidential race, and I'm keeping the lottery numbers to myself.
Oh, okay, well, thank you. This team won 47 games. They were the 5 seed. They're winning home playoff games. Like again, they have a huge Game 6 coming up Friday night. Are you proud of this franchise, that they're finally out of the gutter and they're actually playing meaningful basketball here in May?
Oh, absolutely. And after 39 points the other night, I think people are finally perking up about Paolo Banchero, someone you and I have been saying since the day he stepped into the league that this guy has superstar written all over him. So I'm very happy about that. I don't want to lose to Cleveland. They're not very good. Let's get to the second round. Come on, Magic.
All right. If they win Friday night, do we break out your menu again? The what is it? What's Paolo's sandwich on your menu?
Oh, it's the Paolo Banchero Ranchero Burrito. It's delicious.
I think what we need to do is, it always comes back to this with Tim Walters, I think we have to become huge fanboys where we're both wearing Paolo Banchero Magic jerseys and we're wearing the white headband like he does, and then we're both eating these burritos on camera. How about that?
I think that's great, but unfortunately the other night, the Cavaliers rejected Franz Fries with just a few seconds to go, and that's why they lost.
I've been saying this for the last couple days. So Franz Wagner is 6'10". You don't think about it on TV. He's 6'10" driving at you. Mobley is 7'1". So think about that collision, that car accident at the rim where he blocked his shot. We're hobbits in this situation. I hope you know that, Tim.
I was just thinking, for scale model purposes, I could be Franz Wagner and you could be Mobley. Yeah. Because, well, you're about 3 or 4 inches taller than me, and I'd love to try driving to the hoop against you. But I'm all of 5'6", and what are you, 6'4"?
Yeah, I know you always think I'm 6'4". I'm Superman, Clark Kent. I appreciate that. I do. All right, how tall did you want to be, especially growing up? Like, did you want to be 6'10", or what was the game plan?
No, I didn't want to be freakishly tall. I would have taken 5'10 to 6 feet, Mark. I mean, come on, God should have made me 6 inches taller. What happened? What happened, Mark? Oh, wait, my mom's 4'10", and my dad was 5'5". That's what happened.
Are you going to tell that to Franz Wagner? He's freakishly tall? Are you going to tell him that? Is that what you're going to do?
What do you call somebody that's 6'10"? They don't make beds that fit you. You have to buy specialty clothes. And when you're that tall and you sit in a Buick, you look like Shaq in that one ridiculous commercial he did.
My grandma, who now passed away, this is a long time ago, she was 6 feet tall. So, you know, you always think of, like, oh, this nice old grandma, you know, it's like, you know, Sister Jean, where, you know, oh, they're in the wheelchair. Oh, no, my grandma was 6 feet tall, and she liked to bowl. She would have kicked your ass. I hope you know that, Tim Walters.
Oh, all I know, Mark, is I would have loved to have bowled with your grandma.
No, you wouldn't have. She would have beaten you. And I know how competitive you get. So funny. That game Friday night, even Shaq talked about it yesterday and inside the NBA. He says Orlando's going to be rocking, right? I was there for game four over the weekend. It was loud, loud. I can't even remember. I mean, you've been here longer than I have. A bigger moment for the Magic, would it be when they were in the NBA Finals? Like, when would be the last time you're in this situation?
Well, yeah, it's been some time, but I you know, obviously I don't think this measures up game six in a first round series, but yes, I think the arena is going to be shaking and I think the crowd will be a factor. And like I said, I do believe the Magic are going to win. Right now, I mean, they're playing very well. They need to clamp down a little bit more defensively because they're still getting some pretty bad shots popped on them. But hey, I mean, look, it is a positive step forward, but I do think that this is a series they can win. It's really the only interesting series going, Mark, because the other ones have kind of been stinkers for the most part. So, you know, there's some West Coast series, but who around Florida is awake at 10:30 at night? By then, I'm well into dreamland. So for me, the East Coast series, this one's definitely the best one to watch.
Look, I won't lie to you. I have turned into my father. I get up at 5:30 in the morning to go to the bathroom, and that's when I check some of these scores for some of these games. There was a night, what was it? Was it Monday night? Okay, I was so tired from like the last couple of days. I passed out on my couch at around 8:30 at night. I woke up at 12:30 in the morning on my couch, and we've all done this, hopefully. Hopefully I'm not alone. And I'm like, man, what time is it? And I look at my phone, and there's like, oh, there's 2 minutes to go in the Nuggets-Lakers game. What? What time do these games start, Tim? That's my question for you.
Yeah, I don't know when they start, and I don't know when they end, because like you, I'm asleep, but I also wake up at 5:30. We must have a similar bathroom schedule, but then I have to get a kid out the door.
What's the best Magic game you've ever been to before?
Ooh. Oh, I still go back to, and I have the ticket stub. I'd have to look at the exact date. I'm pretty sure it was 1996. I saw Shaq and Ewing go to overtime. Shaq scored something like 41. Ewing scored 39. And it was like watching a heavyweight bout. Every time one of them would do something, the other would come right back down and do it. It was, I've probably seen 100 Orlando Magic games, but that one still sticks out more than any, watching two of the great Titans, two of the great centers of all time in a heavyweight match like that. That one was so much fun overtime, and the Magic did win that game.
Do you miss that old arena downtown?
Not really. I love their new arena. It is beautiful and wonderful, and it's just so much better than the old one. Maybe there's a little nostalgia, but not really that much, because I love their current arena. It is a gorgeous facility, and it's a great watching experience there.
Did you ever own a Shaq jersey growing up?
No, but I do have. I have a Shaquille O'Neal Christmas ornament that I still have. I have a 6-pack of Shaquille O'Neal Pepsi that's 30 years old. If you want to drink one of those, I have his rookie card. I have lots of Shaquille O'Neal stuff, but I was never a jersey guy because being a short person like me, jerseys never really looked right on me, Mark. So I used to have this really cool Philadelphia 76ers Charles Barkley jacket that I wore in like eighth or ninth grade, so around about 1990, and it had the coolest art on it. It was like Charles Barkley's face real big, and then you could see his body like behind it. I'll have to find a picture of it on the internet.
Wow.
They had these artsy jackets of the superstar players of the time, and they look kind of like those 80s pictures where, you know, they'd take your face and then your body and superimpose them next to each other in like a glam shot. It was almost like a jacket version of that for NBA players.
I have so many questions now. First off, let's go back to the Shaq Pepsi. Where do you keep this 6-pack exactly?
It's in a Rubbermaid bin with a bunch of other sports memorabilia that I have.
It needs to be like it's in the back of the fridge, and you remind your daughter, like, look, don't drink this. Whatever you do, don't drink this. Like, what would happen?
I can do one better, Mark, because on my podcast this week, I interviewed Hal Habib of the Palm Beach Post, who's been covering the Dolphins for more than 40 years, and I always joke with him because he has a Danny bar, which is a candy bar for Dan Marino that came out when he was a rookie. It's 40 years old. Imagine what that would look like if you peeled the wrapper back.
Wow. All right. In the studio, a listener gave it to me, and it's been in here for years. I don't know what year it's from exactly. It's a Coke glass bottle, and it says 1984 SEC champs, Gators, University of Florida. And it's got the super old Gators logo. It has Coke in here, and it's the 84 SEC champs. I don't know what year it's actually from, but if I drank this, what would happen exactly? Would I get superpowers? What do you think?
I think the opposite would happen, and I would be memorializing you on the show the following week. Was it our good friend Reggie that gave that to you?
Yeah, I think it was. Reggie does find these things from time to time. You're absolutely right. All right. Where did you find the Barkley jacket in eighth grade? Like, did your parents buy it for you?
Oh, it was one of those things where they were all in, it was either the Sears or JCPenney catalog.
Oh,
like, they had pictures, like Magic Johnson had one, Michael Jordan had one, Charles Barkley had one. They were fantastic, I'm telling you, Mark.
You bring up something that really goes to our childhood, that children today will never understand the impact of it. And we're here with Tim Walters with the Florida Today newspaper. Now, I'll bring up my grandma again. She would get them. She used to get those Sears and JCPenney catalogs for the holidays. Those were amazing. And this was before the internet. So you would look through that thing and see all the toys and video games and sports stuff. I wish we could still get those today. Those were the greatest things ever. Would you agree with that, Tim?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in a nerd group on Facebook that loves Transformers, and people post the pictures of, like, the 1985 Sears Christmas catalog where you had all of the toys lined up. And, it just takes me back to a time of staring at those pages before the internet. I couldn't take my fingers and blow the picture up like you can on a tablet. So, yes, Mark, it's wonderful. And you can actually buy those catalogs on eBay, and they're more now than they were back then.
No way. You could do that? Oh, and it'd be
They'd
be ridiculous. So you're a kid, right? So you're flipping through the toys. Then it'd have, like, sleeping bags. It'd have hunting equipment, guns. Then you get to the lingerie part. You're like, all right, this is getting weird. I'm laughing. They'd have everything in there. All right, should we buy one? Should we do it? Come on. Let's get one. Like the 1995 Sears catalog. Let's do it.
Well, it would have to be one from the 80s because, like, I can remember in 1988, and the year sticks out. It was the year Castlevania 2 was coming out, and you couldn't find it in stores because everybody would buy it. And you'd get, like, the one lone panel of what the game actually looked like. And I remember just staring at the catalog at that one single cell thinking, I can't wait to play this game. And, yes, I got it for Christmas. It was a wonderful thing. Santa, just fantastic, bringing me that from the Sears catalog.
All right, so you want the 1985 one? That's what you're saying? Okay.
And 1988, yep.
All right, so 85, there's one that's $25. Yeah, I'm looking at eBay right now. 20, you could get one here for about $20. One jabroni wants it for $70. That's not going to happen. So 85, what's the other year? 88? Let me look at this. All right, I like you're sending it to me right now. Yeah, about $25. All right, I'm going to buy you one and send it to your house. How about that?
And now check out your text because I just sent you a picture. This is great audio, by the way, for the listening audience.
Wow.
I just sent you a picture of the Charles Barkley jacket. What do you think?
Oh, man, you were in the eighth grade wearing that jacket. Oh, man, you must have had so many ladies chasing you down. Oh, man. You have to meet Charles Barkley and show him this. Do you still have the jacket?
Oh, my God, I wish I still had that jacket. And for those of you who might be listening to this at home or near a computer, Google Charles Barkley 76ers jacket, and you'll find a bunch of images of this wonderful piece of art. And it's just, it says Sir Charles across it. I just love
badass.
It, Mark. I wish I was still wearing it right now, even though it's 90 degrees out.
All right, on eBay, your jacket is going for $150 to about $200, and one wacko wants $500.
Oh, I wonder how much I can get for my Shaq soda.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're talking. So that's our update on the NBA. It was great insight. Sears catalog. We're here at Tim Walters, Florida Today. Let's go to the Jaguars. I get confused by this story. Did the Jaguars did they pick up the fifth-year option on Trevor Lawrence a couple days ago?
They did, yeah. Now, this is kind of standard practice. Look, he's about to start his fourth year next year. They pick up the fifth-year option on both him and Travis Etienne, and then they start working on their contract extensions. This is what they did with Joe Burrow. This is what they did with Justin Herbert. This is just, you know, when guys go into their fourth year, the rookie contracts are 4 years with a fifth-year option. So they're going to pick it up, but they're not going to pay Trevor his, you know, fifth-year rookie wage scale salary. They're going to sign him probably when this year is over to something crazy like $500 million or so. They've been freeing up cap space. Obviously, you saw them cut Zay Jones, their wide receiver, because they just drafted a receiver. They brought in, you know, a receiver in Gabe Davis. You've still got Christian Kirk. You've got Evan Engram. So they've got a lot of weapons there. And I believe right now they're under the cap something to the tune of $25 million because they are trying to free up that cap space. And then with the new rights deal going into effect, I believe next year the salary cap is going up. And don't quote me on this, but you could probably find this on the internet. I want to say it's something like $12 or $15 million a team. So they're trying to figure out where they're going to get all of this extra money to roll up the Brinks truck, as Jalen Ramsey once tried.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence is actually going to get the Brinks truck, and it's going to be loaded with money. So that's kind of the reason behind why they do that. They're just locking him down and saying, yes, Trevor, we want you here your fifth year and then many years after that. But you do that, you lock it up, it's symbolic, and then they're going to give him a lot of money once this year is done.
Who did they release earlier this week at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, that was Zay Jones. So Zay Jones, he was a good contributor 2 years ago. Last year, he was injured quite a bit of the season. He also had a little domestic dispute and got arrested during the season. But he also was a fairly big cap hit, which, again, was one of the reasons why they cut him. But they're pretty good at wide receiver. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Brian Thomas Jr. That guy is just so fast. I believe he led the country in touchdowns at the receiver position last year, and he runs close to 23 miles an hour, which is just slightly faster than you, Mark, but I'd love to see the foot race. So, yeah. You know, Zay Jones, again, he's also getting a little bit older. He was, you know, really, he was a big catch guy 2 years ago when they made the playoff run, but he didn't play a whole lot last year, played injured when he was there, and so they moved on from him.
All right, you really want to do this, buddy? You want to go there? All right, let's do it. So at about 35 years old, I ran the 40 in about a 5.3 seconds at 35. At 41, so last year, I'm turning 42 this month, at 41 years old, at like 5.8 seconds. When I was in my early 20s, you know, high school and early 20s, oh yeah, I could do it in the 4. All right, that's right. Suck on that, Tim Walters. What do you got now?
I think you and I should go out and run a race and see who could do it faster, Mark. I'm still pretty fleet of foot, even for 47, because I still get out and run regularly. How about you?
You're a marathon man, though. You could do the long distance. I can't do that. I can get to point A. No, I can't say it's not laughing. I'm sorry. I'm trying to talk trash to you, and I can't do it without laughing. I'm sorry. I can't do it. If you are Trevor Lawrence and you have a big year, do you do that where you're like, all right, yeah, that's great. I know you have the fifth-year option. I want the mega deal now. I've proven it. Give me the money, like Jerry Maguire. Does he do that?
He doesn't even need to, because those talks have already started. Trent Baalke, the general manager of the Jaguars, has already said, look, we're working on the details. We want to get it done. They also want to get it done before the new league year starts the following year, when more of that money kicks in and the salary cap expands even more. Because if you get it done before that, then when the salary cap expands, they'll have money for other things. But if they wait until after that, Trevor may try and get even more money out of them. So, you know, again, I'm still thinking he's getting somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 million.
Oh.
So him and his family, they're not going to be hurting. Plus, you know, they've got a little Gatorade money. They got a little Nike money. And I feel like some sort of shampoo company should be doing something with those golden locks. But, you know, I can't keep track of all of his sponsorships. So he'll be okay. He doesn't need to strong arm them. They're talking. They have every inkling of keeping him. So it's not going to become Mac Jones's team after this year.
All right. We're here at Tim Walters, Florida today. I'll work better on trying to talk trash to you without laughing. I'm going to try it. I'll do it next week. I'll try. Let's end with this. This is something you've been talking about the last couple weeks. You did a great job with the newspaper where you put together a list of best jersey numbers of all time. What's the latest, buddy?
Yeah, you know, we did our March Madness-style bracket where we put 16 of the most iconic numbers. You were a part of the panel that helped us come up with the numbers and decide the grades. And I thought for sure number 23 would win. I would think because Michael Jordan and Kirk Gibson and Ryan Sandberg and Don Mattingly and so many LeBron James has worn 23 at different points. So many stars have worn that number. I thought it would win. But 24 won the fan vote. So while the experts picked 23, the fans ultimately, over 4 weeks of voting and more than 10,000 votes, voted number 24, which, of course, Willie Mays, Kobe Bryant, Jeff Gordon. You can't really go wrong there, really. But the thing I did, Mark, was aside from, you know, I said, look, the people chose 24. The experts chose 23. You can't go wrong with either number. But then I said, have you ever wondered where or how long jersey numbers have been around? You ever wonder that, Mark? Well, I was able to research it, and jersey numbers may have started with college football teams wearing them as far back as 1908. The first Major League Baseball team to adopt them were the Cleveland Indians in 1916, and they actually weren't picked up as a full-time thing in Major League Baseball until 1929. So actually, if you go to like a Baseball Reference and type in a baseball player and it shows their numbers, if you look up Babe Ruth and hover over his number 3, it shows he only wore that with the Yankees starting after 1929, and that's because that's when numbers came into being. Now, there's some arguing by some hockey teams, by some football teams, and soccer teams over who were the first globally, because a soccer team over, I believe it's Australia, claims that they were first. A hockey team claims they were first. But what it boils down to is it may have started in 1908 was the earliest reference I could find in my research. So if you've ever wondered where jersey numbers come from, Mark, it was then way back more than 120 years ago.
And you don't wear jerseys. That's what I've learned today. You don't. You don't like it, do you?
Well, I have such a manly chest that I don't wear anything, Mark. I just go out there and just no shirt on. That's my thing. I can't say that without laughing.
I know you can't. You take, it's always that joke, like Frank Drebin in Naked Gun. He takes the shirt off and then he looks like Rambo. Like, that's what I love. It always makes me laugh. Really does. Tim Walters, Florida Today newspaper. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
I appreciate it, Mark. I love it when a plan comes together.